Ramsey TV.
People ask me, Martin Zender, how can you be so chipper at 5:30 in the morning? Well, one of the reasons is because I get up at 3:15 in the morning. So my 5:30 is like your 9:30. And the second question I get asked is, what's happening with your hair with the two little spit girls? It's like the double Shirley Temple. I don't know. I'm going to get my hair cut, but I don't know why it's doing this, but it's independent. It has a free will. Now, welcome back to my kitchen studio. This is Martin Zender, as you would expect. I'm the host of MZTV. Some may say the star of MZTV. That's fair. That's fair. I thank everyone for the comments, the wonderful, gracious, effusive comments on my series, Why Your Church is God's Enemy. That was a good series, and it was, again, this was from Evansville, Indiana. So if you were not at Evansville, Indiana, go to YouTube, go to Martin Zender, Why Your Church is God's Enemy, four parts there. The night before in Evansville, the topic was the Apostle Paul, something about the Apostle Paul, I don't remember the title. I will link to the first parts of both of those series underneath. Once you find the first part, I presume that you will find the other parts. Now, there's one thing that I wish I had done at the conference. In fact, I had this on my list that I threw out. Why did I throw out my list, my notes for Saturday night? Again, it was because a woman the night before, as she was leaving during the question and answer session, she says, I like my church. I couldn't live without my church. I value my church, this and that about my church. And I'm thinking, you know, I was nice again on the spot, very gracious, but it really bugged me the next day that someone could be completely unaware of the demonic influences in organized religion. Anyway, I get into all that on the series, so watch that. But I wanted to present the nuts and bolts of the evangel on tape. I've done this before, but I feel as a kind of a closure situation here, I want to do it here. I did it in private. I think it was on Saturday evening after that address, which I broke into four parts. Oh, some of you want me to take those four parts of why your church is God's enemy, and they want me to put it in one part. The reason I didn't do that at first is because it was 90 minutes long, and not many people will even look at a video, see 90 minutes, and even click onto it. It's like hopeless. You'll never get views on it, never. So the only thing I could have done was broken it up into 20 to 25 minute bites. Even that is too much if you want to attract people to the message. But you folks are hardcore. To prove how hardcore you are, you were telling me in the comments, Martin, we want the whole file. Bring us the whole thing. It's like you want like three large pizzas loaded, including anchovies, and you're going to eat them all at one time. God bless you for that. You're hardcore. I think I will do it. I think I'm going to do it. Got to serve the hardcores out there. I'm one myself, obviously. I can handle it because I did it. But there's so much energy. This is why I like and I don't like going to these conferences. I'll just say this. Generally, you might be able to relate before I get to the meat of this topic, is that I get into my ruts. I enjoy my ruts somewhat. At least I love to hate them. And it's hard to, because of inertia, to push one out of one's course of action, right? A body tends to remain at rest unless acted upon by an outside force. In this case, the outside force was Dean Wilkinson and Chris Carnahan, especially Chris. They said, come to Evansville. And I'm always mixed. I'm always like, get on an airplane, fly up there, lose sleep, probably eat things I don't want to eat. be tired all the time, but then I go and there's no place I would rather be. And the energy there is fantastic. And that's why if I do this again, you need to go. Make the effort. I make the effort. And I want you to make the effort next time to go. But thank God for the internet that allows people from all over the world to see these shows. I think it shows up like 900 views or something. So figure this, 20 people in the garage in Evansville, Indiana. And yet each show on the internet is viewed by 900 people going on 1,000. Figure 1,000 by the time it's done, at least. 1,000 people. I don't think we could have fit 1,000 people into Dean's garage. I was trying to picture what 1,000 people looks like physically. I'm thinking, okay, stuffing the garage, spilling out into the driveway, out into the yard and the street. Yeah, that would be exciting. Yeah, to address a live audience like that. I would love it. I would have no problem with it whatsoever. I assume it'd be just as easy for me to address a crowd of 10,000 as it would be one, because I've learned a long time ago, it's not about me, it's about the message. So anyway, I'm encouraging you to get there. Listen, it's hard for me too. But once you get there, it's worth it. You'll never forget it. What are you doing that's more important than this? Oh, your job? Yeah, okay, well. All right. I must now close a loop, really, that I started with the series. And that is the two major satanic tripwires to the evangel of Paul. And I'm going to go over, I've done this before. I'm going to continue doing it every now and then as long as I'm alive, as long as the snatching away hasn't occurred. Maybe even after the snatching away, I'll still be doing this. No, because then we won't have to worry about, I was going to say we won't have to worry about satanic opposition, but that's not true, is it? We'll still be opposed, but none of us will be susceptible to it, and I won't have to be warning people about it. But today, yes, definitely. The gospel, as I explained to a woman at the conference on the side after the meeting, I wanted to do this publicly with you. She was having a problem with death. She was having a problem that the dead are dead. All right, I understand that. Death is the biggest fear of humanity. And Satan played into that fear in the Garden of Eden by telling his first lie, the infamous lie, "You shall not surely die." Actually, that's not what he said. He said, "To die, you shall be dying," because that's what God said. On the day you eat the fruit, to die, you shall be dying. That is, to die, your actual day of death will be preceded by dying. Death is the state, dying is the process. So Satan repeats those words, but he adds the infamous, detestable question mark at the end. Questioning God, "You shall not die to be dying. To die, shall you be dying?" Question mark, no. So ever since then, humanity has panted after that fantasy that death is not real. And you might think, well, that's an innocent little thing, except for one thing, it denies the resurrection. And not only that, but it denies even more critically the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because why would you be raised if you're not dead? Hey, Jesus, so simple. But Satan has really scored one with this, because he gets people thinking that it's wonderful to think that there's no death, because God wouldn't want death. No, God instituted death. Jesus Christ himself holds the keys of death and Hades. So, yeah, God brought it into his creation so that people would have a contrast for resurrection and life. So, I told this woman, I said, "You cannot believe in Paul's gospel unless you unhand this theory, idea, this philosophy you have about death." I said, there is no excuse not to know what death is in the scriptures, because the scriptures loaded with references to death. The dead do not know anything. The dead do not live until the 1,000 years are finished. Jesus Christ raising Lazarus from the dead. And no one being raised from the dead in the scriptures ever complains about it. But if they are whisked into paradise upon death, then upon recall to earth, they all should be extremely pissed off and saying they should be agitated, and they should be looking for the person who dared to raise them from the dead and bring them back from paradise to this realm of sin, decay, and death. But you don't see that. You see them all groggy, kind of like, what happened? Where was I? Of course, death is oblivion. The reason nobody likes that in the case of Jesus Christ is because we don't like to think of Jesus Christ being oblivious. We don't like to think of Jesus Christ as not existing for 3 days. Ooh, that offends our sensibilities. And we will help Jesus Christ for this not to happen to him, just like Peter. Far be it from us, Lord, to let this happen to you. When Jesus Christ predicts his crucifixion, Peter says, no, we won't let this happen. Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Yeah. So for the people who are trying to be nice to Christ and say, don't worry, Jesus, we won't support any teaching that says you really died, Jesus would say to them, get behind me, Satan. Because the death of Christ showed his faith. Why is this essential? Paul makes the death of Christ a foundation of the evangel. Paul says in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I give over to you among the first what also I accepted, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was entombed. He has been roused the third day. Christ died for our sins. I'm sorry, but this is a foundation of the gospel, the death of Christ, because it illustrates his faith in letting go, knowing he was falling into oblivion, non-existence, and thus was the trust he had in his Father, the faith he had in his Father that his Father would raise him from the dead. And just when you think everybody believes Jesus Christ died, you find out that they don't. So Satan doesn't want anybody believing in the death of Christ. He wants them to believe in falsehoods, like, well, Jesus' body died, but he went to heaven. Well, the problem with that is he is the essential person. So they believe the essential person, the man, Jesus Christ, did not die. He, Jesus Christ, the essential person, went to heaven immediately upon, quote, death, unquote, which is really not death. Only his body, his flesh, his corpse died. His corpse was dead. So I guess we're saved by the resurrection of his corpse? Instead of the signs at Easter that say he is risen, I guess what they should say is his corpse is risen. His corpse is risen. Come to Easter Sunday worship. Why? Why should I come to Easter Sunday worship? Because his corpse is risen. Why don't they be honest? They say he is risen. That is, the person, Jesus Christ, is risen. Total hypocrisy, because they don't believe that the person, the essential man, Jesus Christ, ever died. How did this teaching of the Trinity, which says that Jesus Christ is God and therefore can't die, because God can't die, how did this creep in to humanity? And better question, why did it creep into humanity? Well, why is that Satan wants to keep as many people as possible from being in the body of Christ? For one thing, he's a little off in his thinking. He thinks that God needs numbers. He thinks that God needs a lot of people to rule the heavens. He thinks that the force of God's might can only be expressed and exercised through numbers. So Satan wants to keep as many people as possible. Totally. I hope he's not listening. He's totally on the wrong track, because it's not by numbers, it's by power. Nevertheless, this is what he's doing. So he puts a tripwire in front of the simplest belief of the death of Christ, and it's called the Trinity. And the Trinity, which this woman at the conference, I think she must have believed in it somewhat, or else she was just totally hateful of the very concept of death. Who isn't? I am too. But we have to face reality, i.e., we have to face Scripture. The dead are not alive. Breakthrough teaching. So beware the Trinity, because it's a tripwire Satan puts in front of the first essential of the gospel. Now I'm going to give you the second essential, and then I'm going to check out for the day, because I've already done my job today. It's not even 6 a.m., and I will feel fulfilled. I will feel like I'm living a life of purpose, and it's not even 6 o'clock a.m. Christ died for our sins. I know I've said this before. It's part of the evangel, so I must repeat it every now and then. I have new people coming into the show all the time. I have about 30 new subscribers every month. I'm not setting the world on fire, but in another way, I am. Again, I just told you it's not about numbers, but is it satisfying to me to know that more people are coming into the truth? Yes, I love it. I love it. I like more numbers coming in. I know it's not essential, but it's fun. I do what I can. Even Paul said, I become all things to all people that I may win the more. He wants to win more people. So it's kind of like a sport, I guess, for us evangelists, right? Basketball players keep track of their shots, their scores, and their, you know, this isn't a Billy Graham thing because we're not putting out the false evangel in order to get more people. We put out the hardcore truth, tell it like it is, and we let the chips fall. But it's still nice to see people getting it. Nice to see people forsaking the organized assembly, forsaking the deceptions of Satan. This is what my four-part series, Why Your Church is God's Enemy, is so important, because it lays bare the deception of religion. It shows you the source of religion, and it tells you why people gravitate toward religion and remain in it, because they think it's safe. But your church, if you're still in one, is the least safe place you can be in. It is humming with demonic activity. I know people who are in the faith who still go to church, and I try to be nice, but honest to God, I do not understand it. It's dangerous, it's irresponsible, and it's, you know, to each their own. All I can do is tell you that you're playing with fire. Christ died for our sins. This means that he dealt with sin at the cross. He died for our sins. He didn't go through that gruesome death for no reason. There's a reason he died. There was a reason. What was the reason? For sins. For our sins. What does that mean, for our sins? Well, John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ, all the types leading up to Jesus Christ, i.e. the lambs of Israel, took away sin. They took sin away from God's sight for another year, but this sacrifice had to be repeated every year via the tabernacle system and the Levitical priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood. Not ironic, Aaronic. It might have been ironic as well in many aspects, but this one sacrifice once and for all takes away all sin. Everybody's been justified from sin. Not everybody knows it. But what satanic teaching stands in the way of understanding that? It is the teaching of human free will. Human free will is horrible teaching. It's a teaching that makes man his own God. And I'm talking capital G God. I'm talking Lord God. Because you are the deciding factor of where you spend eternity, in spite of what, never mind what Christ did. Christ only, again, made it possible. You finish the deal. You finish the deal. That's evil. That's evil. And it denies Christ's death for sin. If Christ died for sin, how good was it? How effective was he in dealing with sin if every human being is born still liable to the penalty of sin, still liable to death because of sin, and according to them, eternal torment? In other words, you are born and your default setting is you are a sinner going to hell. That's what the evangelists, so-called, in Christianity tell you. In fact, that's numero uno on their list of how to be an evangelist. Tell the people that they are doomed to hell, that their default setting is a sinner going to hell. And if they ask you, what about what Jesus Christ did at the cross, you must distract them with a donut. You must distract them with an invitation to church. You must distract them with a chainsaw juggler and the latest choir group from Utah. And do not ever field that question, what about what Jesus did at the cross? Because the answer to that question does away with their entire satanic industry. Because they need the cross to be incomplete so that they can be in the business of completing it. They make it so that you need them, not for information, but for salvation, for the love of God. So Satan doesn't want members of the body of Christ. The simplest thing is to believe that Jesus died for your sins. Simple. Who doesn't believe that? I'll tell you who doesn't believe it. Billions of people don't believe it, even while claiming that they do, because they trip over the two ingenious tripwires Satan put in front of the gospel of Paul, the gospel of the transcendent graces of God. And these tripwires are two in number. They are free will. They are free will and the Trinity. And you might say, well, what about eternal torment? The jury's out on that. I think eternal torment, Satan definitely inspired that. But eternal torment, I think, was designed primarily to drive people into free will. Because free will is the killer teaching. It's killer. It disqualifies you for aeonian life in both evangels. Free will is establishing your own righteousness. That's a killer. It's a killer disposition in both gospels, the circumcision and the uncircumcision. So I think that eternal torment, which says that you're going to hell, such a horrible fate, how can we send people to hell? Well, we have to make it their fault for not believing. In order to make it their fault, we have to put this free will thing in there that they send themselves to hell, basically, by not believing. So, of course, they have to ignore these free will people, have to ignore so many verses in the scripture that are against free will. The only people that can resist the, we must come up with free will to cover eternal torment, the only people freaky enough and weird enough to resist it are Calvinists, who have no problem with God being sovereign. They don't believe in free will, but they believe that God purposely predestines certain people to go to hell for eternity. So that they see the falsehood of free will because they can read the scriptures, but they love them some eternal torment. They're still going to have their eternal torment, of course, but by keeping eternal torment and getting rid of free will, they make God responsible for sending people to hell for eternity. Those people are nuts, and they should be hospitalized in padded rooms. They're sick people Calvinists are. They're sick people. So they don't trip on that, but they trip on the Trinity because, of course, they still believe, they trip on the death of Christ for sin. Something ran across, what was that, a giant rat? Oh, that's Charles. They still believe in the Trinity, which, of course, keeps them from believing in the death of Christ. I've spoken my piece for today. It's nice to be back in the home studio with my little computer and my professional microphone. Who knows? I might mix it up. I might go back into my car for a little while. I like to mix it up. You like it mixed up. But there's one thing we're not going to be, and that is mixed up on the essential teachings of Paul's gospel.